Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Deep Dish Radio. I'm Tim Powers. My guest today is author Robert J. Peterson with his new novel, The Odds. In addition to being one of my best friends, Bob is a graduate of the Northwestern University School of Journalism and the founder of publishing house California Cold Blood. The Odds, Bob's newest novel, is a post-apocalyptic tale of adversity, triumph, and heart. It is exciting, action-packed, full of drama, and even funny at times. The Odds, published by California Cold Blood, is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, your local brick-and-mortar bookstore, and of course, from the publisher's website, CaliforniaColdBlood.com. Here's the interview with the brilliant and funny Robert J. Peterson.
Subscribe today and tell a friend about Deep Dish Podcast with Tim Powers, with Tim Powers.
Bob!
How's it going?
Good, man. Really, really. It's so great to see you. And I've been following the story of this book. I remember when you were working on it and just really excited to see how things have taken off. Let's set up the story. And sure. Then we'll tell the publishing. This is directly from your site. The Odds is a post-apocalyptic action comedy, an extended ode to John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China, always a good sign. And it's the first in a four-book cycle, the Dead Blast Chronicles, and The Odds are available everywhere. Can I do your trailer?
Oh, sure.
I'll do your trailer. It's been centuries since Dead Blast deleted most of what we knew. All that's left are a smattering of subterranean cities run by a ruthless cadre of bookies. We call them the Odds. It's a rough world. If you're not freezing your ass off at night, then the sun cooks you during the day. And a man they call the Redhead is back in town. He's returned to the city of Dedrick, deep in debt and deathly ill. And there's a lot more copy here, but... and his last hope is to win a deadly battle royale based on the rules of chess. Bob, let's get into this story.
Yeah.
This is really, really exciting.
Thanks.
So where do we begin? How would you like to begin? I've set up the story a little bit, but really, it's your story.
Thanks. You mentioned how much you like the Big Trouble in Little China angle, right? And more than anything else, I just want to express that like the tone and the feel and the texture of this book is very fun. It is lighthearted in tone. I always invoke a Big Trouble in Little China because it is structurally and tonally like that movie. I had it in mind when I was writing it. The hero of the book is very much in the Jack Burton mold. He is a wisecracking, world-weary hero who nevertheless has a really big heart.
Right.
And the book mashes up a lot of genres. It is partially Western. It is certainly science fiction. There are elements of horror in it as well. That's the main thing that I want to convey is that it is a lot of fun. And I think also fans of Joss Whedon, particularly Firefly, may find some appeal in this book as well.
There you go. Can you...
obviously you've got the influences there.
Yeah, yeah.
How do those influences manifest themselves in the story? Give me the elevator pitch. Why am I going to spend my $20 on your book?
Okay, I think you're going to spend the $20 on my book because if you believe that a person's greatest weapon that they can have is just having a good heart, if you watch Joss Whedon shows and you laugh at the funny characters, but you also you get that tingly feeling when they show how much they love each other, how much they care for each other. Again, the main character in this book, he's very much in the mold of Jack Burton or Han Solo. As happens in the context of this book, he has some superpowers. He has super strength, right, and seemingly limitless endurance, but he never ever calls on it. He gets into all these scrapes in this battle royale based on the rules of chess. But he always has help from his friends. He always calls on help from his friends, even friends who are departed and who, you know, just like speak to him in his mind. He always has help. So if you like that feeling you get when you're watching Buffy or maybe reading the novels of Neal Stephenson and you're reading about good people who are trying their best to be better people, I think you'll enjoy the book.
Great, because one of the things that you said in the promo is the redhead is not intellectually gifted, right?
Right.
And you gave him that limitation so that you could really play up his heart, from
yeah,
what I understand.
Yeah.
That's really cool. What kind of friends does he call upon? What kind of community? What kind of environment does he have?
Well, he is the kind of guy. He's kind of a George Bailey. Like, he's one of those people who is, like, his life has been governed by this series of unusual choices. And when you, in aggregate, when you read about them, you see that he's pretty much just driven by a deep sense of empathy and a real love for his friends, and that includes the local sheriff, this tall and strapping woman, who just cares for the redhead deeply. The local Sawbones, this man who is pretty much only a torso. He's missing the lower half of his body, and he is a brilliant physician and something of a mad scientist. Also cares for the redhead. There is a crusty old timer who wears like wire rim glasses, and I don't know if anybody's a fan of The Wire here, but he's basically the Lester Freeman of the world.
Okay.
You know, he's just very, very professorial and gruff and bluff, and he also cares very deeply for the redhead. And one of his old friends of the redhead, who he had a falling out with some years in the past in the context of this narrative, is this guy named Marco Marinus. And Marco is the head of this elite order of physically perfect sort, basically maniacs who live in like the nearby foothills and just do nothing but like work out and can I swear on this show?
Of course you can.
Yeah, who just work out and fuck all the time. he and the redhead once belonged to this order, but he left it in disgrace many, many years ago. But all the same, this old friend of his, who he's had this falling out with, his wisdom echoes and carries with him all through the years. So he occasionally calls on him as well.
Interesting. So the redhead out on the outs from his family, ostracized from his original community,
right?
Not that bright. How does he? Maybe this is the story, but
sure.
Where is his redemption? Where's the point where we become sympathetic and he becomes the hero?
He's basically the hero from the get-go because he is trying to he is in such deep debt, and he knows that if he if he were to just like skip town or to die with this debt outstanding, his family would have to pay for it. His family would have to take care of it for him. And at the beginning of the story, again, he is deathly ill, and that's his plan. In the context of this world, it's run by this ruthless cadre of bookies, right? And you can bet on anything under the sun. And the redhead, he places this unusual, well, it's common in this world, but for us it would be unusual. He places this wager, predicting the exact day that he will die. So when he comes back to Dedrick, he's essentially just coming home to die. And if he wins this wager, so to speak, his family will get this enormous amount of money. He will get out of this incredibly huge debt that he is in. But when he gets home, he finds out that he's no longer going to die. He's in remission from this cancer that he had. Mm. So that's what gets him into the battle royal based on the rules of chess. That's his plan B to help his family.
Okay.
As the story goes forward, he slowly realizes that, and let me see if I can explain this, he was ill and he got better, right? Yeah. But his illness was so grave that he discovers that pretty much somebody would have had to find a way to cure him of this illness and thereby cause him, like, a lot of grief and trouble. Like, he was ready to die and just have his family get this money. So somebody got revenge on him by making him better, if that makes sense. And that is another big influence on this book is just, like, Raymond Chandler and any number of crime authors, Mickey Splaine, etc. And that is, like, along with this... this chess tournament that he's in, there is an element of a gumshoe mystery to it. Like, he's trying to figure out who cured me. And that same list of friends that I mentioned, friends and enemies, is also like the lineup of usual suspects, because it's either like, wow, either somebody who really cares for me found a way to cure me, or somebody who harbors a deep grudge against me may have found a way to cure me as well.
Unbelievable.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. A lot of what you've written is influenced by your Dashiell Hammonds and your Raymond Chandler and things like that. Are there archetypes from the film noir that we're going to meet throughout the story?
Absolutely, yeah. I mentioned Marco Marinus and the order of physically perfect maniacs, right? Well, when the main character, I'll just give him a name. Eldridge is the main character's name. When Eldridge journeys up to this old compound in the mountains, which again is where he grew up, is where he some of his formative years were spent.
Right.
When he journeys up there, and it's this weird assemblage of cottages and buildings perched on the side of this mountain. I totally had in mind any number of scenes from the Maltese Falcon to the Big Sleep, where the private eye has to journey up to, say, like a weird house up in the Hollywood Hills to meet with some kooky old eccentric, right?
Right.
That archetype is in there. Another archetype that is in there. One of the bad guys in the story is this guy named Clovis, also known as the Dry Man, because his skin is just completely cracked and arid, and like whenever he talks, like, flakes of skin kind of like rain off of him and stuff like that. He's like Pigpen. He's surrounded in dust. And this guy is another, also very heavily influenced by film noir, especially the old Coen Brothers movie Miller's Crossing.
There you go.
If you know that, yeah. Mm-hmm. The John Turturro character in that movie, if you remember him, very big. In fact, that movie is also a big influence in the sense that it's like this. This small, cozy, almost claustrophobic town that's ruled over by this local group of gangsters, right?
Right.
So anyway, the John Turturro character from that as well. I forget that character's name, but yeah.
You know who would know?
Yeah.
Oh, Robot Cowboy.
Robot Cowboy.
In Miller's Crossing, John Turturro's character was named Ernie. He really gets a chance to show off his exceptional acting skills in that movie.
See, there you go. Mm. We should have known.
Thank you.
We should have known. There is a deeper story to this book, in addition to the tremendous prose that's on the story.
Thanks.
There's actually a road to publication.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is kind of your publishing imprint. Can you walk us through how you got into the publishing business?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really unusual path for me. Pretty much what happened was that I originally had an agent for my novel writing and specifically for this book.
Right.
And the book went out, and it was, you know, it's one of those books. I mean, you hear about books like this all the time that go out to a lot of publishers and it just doesn't get picked up. And, mm-hmm. and that happens sometimes. It's a tough nut to crack. So after that happened, I kind of like, you know, took stock of like where I wanted to go with my career. I'd already written like two other novels by that point. And it was around that time, and this was when, it was also shortly after I started dating my amazing girlfriend, Lauren Rock, also a voiceover talent of vast accomplishment and eminence. When I met
her... She's the imaging voice for the Comics and Comics radio show.
Come on. Yeah, she's fantastic. And she was working for a great publishing house here in Los Angeles called Rare Bird Books. And the proprietors over there, Tyson Cornell, Julia Callahan, and also Alice Marsh Elmer, they are just delightful.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And they were so nice. They met with me. We had lunch. And we just like talked shop about the publishing industry. And they recommended that I run a Kickstarter campaign to try to do a nice limited run of the books. And when I did that, this was back in 2012, like time flies. I also started a publishing imprint called California Cold Blood Books. And I always joke that me starting this publishing company at that time was just me building a website and declaring it to be a publishing company. but then I went through the Kickstarter campaign, you know, printed the books, fulfilled those requirements and all that. And I was just kind of thinking, like, what am I going to do with this publishing imprint? Like I need to do something with it. And I had this longstanding fantasy to become Rare Bird's imprint for sci-fi and fantasy. For those of you who don't know, larger publishing companies will have under their umbrella smaller publishing companies called imprints that handle that will typically handle genres. Like Random House has a billion imprints and for mystery and westerns and romance and stuff like that. I talked about it for months, pitching this to Rare Bird, and Lauren kept encouraging me, saying you should do it, and I was like, they'll laugh at me. And I would hear that in like Piper Laurie's sort of falsetto. and eventually I pitched it to him, and it turned out they had been hoping to expand into sci-fi and fantasy, but they just didn't know anything about that about that arena of publishing. And not that I knew much more about it, but I certainly was familiar with like just, you know, like what was called for in it and the blogs that review it. And I also at the time had worked with a couple of writers who I wanted to bring on as authors under California Cold Blood. Okay. I went out and I signed them and then redid this book with a totally new edition with some new material and a new cover design. So I don't know, like... I feel like I'm running kind of long already.
It's your show today.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. I don't know if me offering advice to aspiring novelists at this point would be appropriate.
you certainly have lessons learned, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you branch out into something this big, publishing your own book, you're going to learn stuff that every waiter and busboy that you meet in LA that goes, I want to be a writer.
Oh yeah.
Right. You're going to make those mistakes. Same thing with voiceover.
If you
swing a cat, you're going to hit two writers and three voiceover artists, right?
Oh yeah.
And those of us who are doing it, you and me, and Lauren, and you know, we've all made mistakes in the industry that if we could save a rookie some time if we learned. What have you learned?
Well, I'll say this. If you're an aspiring novelist out there, I just want to say hang in there. And pretty much, I'm actually thinking of a video I saw online recently. It was an interview with the great author John Irving, the great American author, my all-time favorite author. And they just asked him if he had any advice for young novelists. And he told the damnedest story. John Irving said that he went back and just on a lark talked with the editor who published his first novel, like back in, I think I want to say it was the 70s when his first novel came out, Setting Free the Bears. And he asked him, hey, if my first novel, if Setting Free the Bears were to come across your desk today, would you buy it? And pretty much his editor said that he probably wouldn't, that the industry has just changed so much and it's contracted so wildly. It's gotten so much smaller that a first novel as unusual as John Irving's first novel, he probably wouldn't pick up. And Irving, like, he laughed about it, you know, and he said he pretty much intimated he wasn't even that surprised. And he just and that's what I would like to convey to young writers out there or even older writers like me, is that the publishing industry is changing rapidly. Mm-hmm. The internet has changed everything, just as it has for every other medium and area and arena of entertainment, music and movies and
radio.
Film. Radio, yeah. And it is changing rapidly. And if you are out there and you're querying agents and you're having a hard time breaking in, just hang in there and know that there are multiple avenues to success. And, of course, I don't know if start your own publishing company is the right advice for everybody. You know, like for me, it was appropriate for me because I also felt the impulse to be an editor. And that was something that really, like, welled up in me, especially as I was working with these other two authors. So I'd love to pimp them.
Absolutely.
The next two releases from California Cold Blood are going to be from them. I won't have another new book coming out until next year.
Get on it, dude. Come on.
Yeah. Well,
Your fans are waiting, dude.
I've got to space these things out.
I think you are Boston waiting 15 years between records. Come on.
Well, the next one coming out is by... this wonderful fellow named Adam Korenman. He is the video games editor for CC2K. He's also a captain in the U.S. Army. And it is going to be the first volume in a science fiction epic that he has written, a military sci-fi epic. The first volume is called When the Stars Fade. The larger series is called The Gray Wars. And the way that I pitch it is that if anyone out there is a fan of Tom Clancy, in particular, Tom Clancy's novel Red Storm Rising, mm-hmm. Where if you know that one, Clancy, he imagines a fully pitched Third World War minus any nuclear weapons. You know, in a European theater, it's between NATO and the Warsaw Pact. And Adam's novel, it is an alien invasion of the solar system and some outlying colonies of space. So it's in like a far future. And it's just awesome. He writes about military culture with tremendous authority and humor
and experience, obviously.
And experience, and yeah, he's also just a wonderfully talented writer and inventor of science fiction. His prose is sparkling, and I'm really excited about it. And that should drop in fall of this year of 2015.
Keep your eyes open.
Yeah, and the next novel coming out from California Cold Blood after that is from author Beth Woodward. Beth was the books editor at CC2K, so if you want to like get in good with me, write for my nerd website. She was the books editor for many, many years, and she is also just a heck of a writer and just so determined, and she has so much grit. I am releasing the first volume in a series that she is writing. It's called the Dale Highland Books. And the first book is called The Demon Within. It is urban fantasy, and it is about a young woman with, I would say, Incredible Hulk-style powers, like Incredible Hulk, Jekyll and Hyde, where when she's under duress, she'll black out and basically ruin everything in a 100-meter radius.
That's called alcoholism.
Right? Oh, yeah, right. She wakes up, why am I wearing these purple pants and nothing else? she discovers that she is her heritage is part demon. And that she is a key figure in an age-old conflict between heaven and hell. And what I love about this book is that it I read it, and oh man, I remember reading it and thinking, man, like Beth is a novelist with a capital N. She is great. Her prose is just it's so beautiful. Her construction is so sound. This book, this is a genre that I was not originally a fan of, urban fantasy. It tends to have a lot in common with romance in the sense that it's pretty steamy stuff. So it is steamy stuff, but man, if you like a female lead who is strong and courageous and powerful and has agency, then you are going to like this book. There are no formless, gormless ciphers for women in there in this book. Like this is a great female lead, and Beth is a hell of a writer, and that should drop in winter of this year. But when I was reading their books and just reading, because like other friends of mine, like they knew I wrote novels, and they would give me their novels and ask for my notes and stuff, and I could really like feel the desire to be an editor welling up in me, and I felt like I had something to offer in that realm. So that was appropriate for me. But yeah, I just want to say, like, there's more than one way to, what is the expression, skin a cat. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and yep. Yeah,
the
and just hang
of,
in there.
The days of being seen at Schwab's drugstore, you know, are long gone, and
oh, yeah.
Now Schwab's drugstore comes to you.
Yeah.
You know, there are YouTube stars. There's podcast stars.
Yeah.
There's folks who have built empires on publishing their own books online.
Yeah.
And, going going into the large office with the cigar smoking man, and goes, "Yeah, you know, get the kids the rich and famous contract." You know?
Orson Welles,
Orson
yeah,
Orson Welles, right?
yeah.
You know, those days sadly are gone, but it gives the creative the opportunity to create their own opportunity, which is which is really good to hear.
Absolutely, yeah.
So California Cold Blood,
yep,
right, has its own publishing imprint, its own website, of course, which is
CaliforniaColdBlood.com, and you can also go to RareBirdBooks.com. They have a page for California Cold Blood on their site as well.
Fantastic. And Rare Bird, you know, obviously they've got your sci-fi imprint. What other genre are they in?
Oh, they man, I like, don't even get me started on Rare Bird. They're so rad. They have, I think, three or four other imprints. They have Rare Bird, which is the main one. They have Barnacle, Vireo, and Archer. They mainly do mainstream fiction, you know, just like regular novels where nothing weird happens. Right. They work with a lot of awesome.
Every novel should have something weird.
Weird in it, right? Yeah. But their main stuff is mainstream. They also do a lot of fantastic memoir and a little bit of crime. Gary
crime?
Phillips. I think
true
they may
crime
have done
or
some
fictional crime.
Actually, both. Okay. They have. One of their recent releases is by a journalist named Jason Leopold called News Junkies, and it's just a memoir of his about his experience being a journalist and a junkie, as I understand. Gary Phillips, who's a really great LA crime author, I've met him once or twice. He is so cool. He's buddies with my friend Gar Anthony Haywood, who is also a wonderful mystery author. And like he's been like a mentor to me over the years. And anyway, Gary Phillips, you can find he's got a collection of short fiction called Monkology with Rare Bird. But they did not have any sci-fi or fantasy, but now they do.
There you go. So yeah. Rare Bird at RareBirdBooks.com?
RareBirdBooks.com, yes.
Fantastic. And The Odds is available in, if you're in Los Angeles, it's at a lot of local bookstores.
Sure is, yeah.
You've got it at Skylight, you've got it at Vroman's, right?
Book Soup.
At Book Soup.
Meltdown Comics, they have it there.
Fantastic. So there you go. And it's also available online. So point your browser right now to...
You can just Amazon, Barnes
Amazon's
& Noble. And actually, one of the great things about our distributor, PGW, is that it's available through virtually any online outlet. I mean, Walmart has it. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, now, is it available as a... obviously, it's a printed book, but are there digital editions available?
Oh yeah, yeah. And in fact, depending on actually the e-edition, it may even be dropping today. There's kind of a longer process to distribute that, but it may have dropped today.
Weird?
It's totally weird. Yeah, you would think it's ones and zeros. How hard is that? But
right.
That's just one of those benefits of having a distributor. It may be dropping today, but. If you want to buy it electronically and you can't find it, please just email info@californiacoldblood.com and we will work it out. So I can get it to you in any format you want, and it'll be the same fair e-price that you would get on Amazon, which probably be around like $7 or $8. I forget what exactly the price.
A bargain at any price,
yeah.
But you get it directly from. You get it directly from the author.
Yeah.
And I've known Bob for years. I know that if you write him and tell him that you're looking forward to reading his book, he will, of course, write you a very thoughtful and verbose note about his appreciation that you are checking out his book. So there you go. It's CaliforniaColdBlood.com. You check that book out. Get The Odds on wherever books are sold. And if it's not in your local brick-and-mortar bookstore, ask for the manager and demand to get a copy of this book. It's The Odds by Robert J. Peterson.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.